You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order. And we are back here. It is Victory Monday here on Locked On Ravens and a playoff Victory Monday. It's a great day today. The Ravens beating the Tennessee Titans 20-13 in the wild card round. They get their revenge on Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Mike Vrabel, and they do it in style. No, it was not a pretty game. No, it was not an easy game. But again, the Ravens, it doesn't matter if they win by 1 point. It doesn't matter if they win by 30. A win is a win. You go 1-0 every week in the playoffs, and the Ravens have just begun, hopefully, stacking wins in the postseason. Lamar Jackson gets his elusive first playoff win. The Ravens get their first playoff victory since the 2014-2015 season. And it just feels like a collective sigh of relief has just been exhaled throughout all of Ravens Nation, even the Ravens in the locker room with the players and the coaches. It really just seems like the Ravens, they've gotten something off of their back, and they've gotten something that really means a lot to them. Marlon Humphrey, dating back to last season when Baltimore lost in the divisional round to Tennessee, comes out and straight up says, look, our identity right now is to choke in the postseason. And it was true at the time. The Ravens couldn't show up in those big games. They had trouble showing up in those big games. But boy, did they get up to play on Sunday. Again, 20-13, a defensive struggle, but the offense did just enough to win the football game. So here in this first segment, we'll be talking about the Ravens offense and how they scored those 20 points against that Tennessee defense, which actually played decently well. I'm going to give them a bit of credit. They didn't play perfectly, but they actually did play a decently good game. Then in the second segment, we'll flip the field and talk about the Ravens defense and how they held Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and that Titans offense to just 13 points. And then finally, in the final segment, we'll talk with Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers and Locked On NFL about the Ravens victory and then get into the final scores throughout the rest of Wild Card Weekend. Spoiler alert, it is the Buffalo Bills, but we'll talk about that. How Baltimore matches up with Buffalo, and a couple other things relating to that. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, subscribe so you know when our content comes out. Hit the notification buttons. Our content comes out Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34 for any Ravens historical news, analysis, updates, anything relating to the Ravens, we have it on Twitter. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here and let's start off with this Ravens offense. And for Baltimore, it really is almost a tale of two halves, a tale of a quarter and three quarters, however you want to put it. The first quarter was not pretty for the Ravens on offense or really on defense, although the defense did play decently well in the first quarter outside of a few plays here and there. Lamar Jackson finishes this game 17 of 24 for 179 yards, no touchdowns and one interception through the air. He also had 16 carries for 136 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And again, the first quarter, it wasn't really what a lot of people were expecting, I think. I think the Ravens wanted to come out. They wanted to set that tone early, and in fact, they did pretty much the opposite. Tennessee scores. Baltimore gets the ball back. Lamar Jackson throws an interception, and I'm going to give blame on that interception to Lamar Jackson. I'm also going to give it a bit to Greg Roman, but I don't mind the thought of going for a deep shot early in a game. Again, it's a tone setter. You complete that pass, you get down the field, and you score some quick, easy points. But Lamar Jackson throws a pretty bad ball, I'm not going to lie, and it ends up going in the hands of Tennessee. Tennessee scores again, a field goal, so it's 10-0. And I'm sure a lot of people at this point are starting to feel the, oh my God, it's literally last season's playoff game all over again. Baltimore can't set the tone early. There's an early interception. Tennessee goes up. It's disaster. So what do the Ravens do? They come back and they orchestrate some drives. They start to spread the Titans' defense out. And this is where I think the game was won for the Ravens, because I said earlier that Tennessee's defense actually played decently well. I think they did. They had 4 sacks on Lamar Jackson in the first half, 5 for the game. Now, those sacks only netted Tennessee about 14 yards. But the Ravens, we'll start with the rushing offense. The rushing offense in the first half really didn't seem to get anything going. Tennessee was getting to the edges and securing those, not letting Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins get to those edges. They were shooting gaps really well. They were playing good gap contain assignment football, and that is a key way to stop Baltimore in the run game. Now, how does Baltimore combat that? They have to start spreading the field. Tennessee knew the entire game, hey, look, Baltimore's going to try to run this thing. We have to do something to stop the run. It's kind of like a little bit of what the Ravens game plan, I'm sure, was, which was, look, Derrick Henry is a game plan. He's a big part of the Titans game plan. So we have to devote a lot of resources to stopping him. So where did the Titans kill the Ravens early? It was on the play action. It was on one-on-one matchups. Baltimore's defense settled down as the game went on, and they really didn't play badly the entire game. Again, outside of a few plays, but we'll talk about that later. The Ravens offense, what they did was they spread the field out. They started to throw some short out routes to guys like Patrick Ricard in the flat. They threw some flat routes to Mark Andrews. Those are the types of plays where the Ravens were picking up 5, 6, 8, 10, 11 yards on those plays. The Titans had to start respecting those out routes, the flat routes, the stuff in the middle of the field. And that's how you spread a defense out. Lamar Jackson, he threw a lot of nice passes outside the numbers yesterday, and that is a big reason why Baltimore is able to spread the Titans' defense out. All of a sudden, Tennessee can't devote those resources to the middle of the field anymore. They can't devote the resources to stopping Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins and Lamar Jackson on the ground. And that's where the game started to turn in Baltimore's favor. Lamar Jackson makes something out of nothing on a 48-yard scamper and scores a touchdown, and that's just the Lamar Jackson effect. The Ravens' receivers, they had some trouble getting open, but again, Marquise Brown. Playoff Marquise Brown is a thing. He went off in the matchup last season with Tennessee in the postseason. He went off in this game as well. 7 receptions for 109 yards. He looked like, I'll say a competent receiver, but that's not doing him any justice. He looked like a good receiver in this game. He was getting separation. He was doing stuff after the catch. He was catching footballs. People all season have been ragging on Marquise Brown. And look, there have been instances where Marquise Brown has deserved the criticism that he's gotten. But in this game, he showed why the Ravens drafted him. He has an ability to stretch a field, to make plays happen, not just deep, but short, intermediate stuff. He does that well. It was just a matter of him to put it all together. It's been an up-and-down season for Brown. This game, he showed up, and he came to play. And that's what the Ravens needed, especially because the next Ravens leading receiver was Mark Andrews, 4 receptions for 41 yards. Patrick Ricard, 3 receptions for 26 yards. And Willie Snead, 2 receptions for 9 yards. So the Ravens only had 4 guys have a catch for positive yardage, and then J.K. Dobbins had 1 catch for negative 6 yards. So 5 guys total with a catch in this one. It was kind of the same thing against Cincinnati last week. But again, the Ravens' passing offense, people will look at Lamar Jackson's stats and the Ravens' run offense and be like, all right, well, look, the run carried him again. That's not how this works. People are saying, well, what, you expect them to run 50 times a game, right? 60 times a game. That's how you expect them to win? No. No, I don't. That would never work in an NFL game. The Ravens feed their run offense with their pass offense. The Ravens feed their pass offense with their run offense. They go hand in hand. We saw throughout this game, Lamar Jackson starts making some plays. J.K. Dobbins starts to pick up some chunk yards. Gus Edwards starts to pick up some chunk yards. And the Titans suddenly are in a struggle. They say, well, we have to either defend the middle of the field and hope that Lamar Jackson can't make these outside throws. We have to send resources to the outside and maybe risk having the Ravens run just straight up the middle of the field, or they'll throw in the middle of the field. The Ravens offense, again, the key for me in this game was they absolutely, positively opened up this Tennessee defense by spreading them out. That's how the Ravens were able to get on the board. That's how the Ravens were able to continue to secure the momentum. The Ravens also did a good job in a couple of other areas. The rush offense, of course, was phenomenal. It was a struggle early, as I mentioned, but they got it together. Baltimore averaged 6.3 yards per play. Tennessee, 4.3. Baltimore had 236 yards rushing. Tennessee, 51. That's another big storyline. Baltimore held the ball for 33 minutes and 38 seconds. Tennessee, 26 minutes and 22 seconds. I mean, the Ravens here, there are so many positives to take away. It's not all positive. I mean, the offensive line had its fair share of struggles. I mean, some of it was because the Ravens couldn't get open and there were just coverage sacks. Others, Tyree Phillips had a pretty terrible rep and pass coverage on Brooks Reed, which ultimately led to the Ravens having to take a sack. Lamar Jackson had a couple plays before the half where he did not make the right decision, and ultimately, I think it cost the Ravens 3 points. So it was not perfect, but the Ravens offense responded to adversity of being down. They came back from a 10-point deficit, which hopefully will silence a lot more critics, but the Ravens got the job done yesterday. They did not blink in the face of adversity, and they pulled out an impressive victory. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we'll be flipping the field and talking about the Ravens' defense. Now, they held Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and that Titans offense to just 13 points, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. The NFL regular season is finishing up and the playoffs have begun. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of this Victory Monday Locked on Ravens edition episode. Kevin Ostreicher is still here with you. And we just talked about the Ravens offense in Baltimore's 20-13 win over the Tennessee Titans. But now let's get into the defense and how they held Tennessee to just 13 points. And obviously, the biggest storyline, something that I'm sure a lot of people will be talking about for a very, very long time, is the fact that the Ravens stifled King Henry. They sent King Henry away. They pretty much took the throne from King Henry as the Ravens held Derrick Henry to 18 carries for 40 yards. That's a 2.2 yards per carry average. And that's just something where the Ravens, it's honestly, it's hard to find the words to describe because going into this game, you know, this is a 2,000-yard rusher. Derrick Henry rushed for 2,000 yards on the 2020 season. He was coming in one of the hottest players in the NFL. Someone who, even if he struggled throughout the first two, three quarters, Baltimore saw firsthand that, look, this guy is a monster in the fourth quarter, in overtime. The Ravens played a full 60 minutes, and this was one of my keys. They played a full 60 minutes of dominant defensive football. Now, yes, here or there, there were a couple plays that, sure, Baltimore, they might have left their foot off the gas. They might have done a lot of different things, and it might not have worked out great. But overall, from start to finish, this was a dominant defensive performance against a team that I think is overlooked on offense outside of Derrick Henry. But again, the key thing here was that the Ravens were able to beat Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. And that's the thing. Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. It's not Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry is what makes this offense turn, but there are other parts of the offense that if that part of the offense isn't really working out, there are other parts of that offense that can carry the load. Ryan Tannehill, 18 of 26 for 165 yards, one touchdown, one interception. A.J. Brown, 6 receptions for 83 yards and a touchdown, which should not have been a touchdown. That offensive pass interference, and I'm going to call it offensive pass interference because that's what should have been called, obviously. A.J. Brown sticks his arm out, pretty much in Marlon Humphrey's neck area, and just pushes him to the ground. Literally just pushes him to the ground. There's no call. And then later in the fourth quarter, on a fourth down play, I believe it was 4th-and-2 for Baltimore, Willie Snead sets a pick, and they call it offensive pass interference. It wipes out a first down by J.K. Dobbins. And look, the offensive pass interference on Willie Snead, okay, it probably was offensive pass interference. Snead did kind of stick parts of his body out, and it didn't really look like he was catching a pass or going to catch a pass. It looks like he's trying to set a pick. But my thing is, call it consistently. The referees made it pretty clear early on in the game with that no call on A.J. Brown that, okay, we're just going to let him play. We're going to let him do their thing, and it's fine. They should have called it. There's no excuse for that. But then there's this little bit of contact, literally little bit of contact from Willie Snead. He looks like he's setting a pick, sure, but it's literally just the slightest amount of contact and the referees call it. It was a pretty bad day for the referees in that regard. Mike Vrabel said that pretty much Tennessee got hosed by the referees, which in reality Baltimore did. But all in all, that A.J. Brown touchdown should not have counted, and realistically, maybe Baltimore holds Tennessee to just 9 points if that isn't scored. But again, King Henry gets stifled. The Ravens were tackling him low. The Ravens showed up and tackled. One thing that the Ravens did not do in the game last season against Tennessee was tackle efficiently. Even you go back to the game against Tennessee earlier this season, Baltimore did not show up and tackle that day. Baltimore showed up and tackled. They played like they had something on the line, which absolutely they did. Derrick Henry was frustrated. Derrick Henry could not get to the second level on most occasions. Derrick Henry's long run in this game was 8 yards. 8 yards. That is almost unheard of when playing Derrick Henry. One, because one of the big things about Derrick Henry is he always falls forward. He always has a tendency to fall forward. With how big Derrick Henry is, that gives him 2-3 yards outright just because literally he is a mammoth of a man. He is an athletic freak. He is, I don't know how to describe him other than he's a monster. The fact that Baltimore's defense was able to limit Derrick Henry to a long of 8 yards is unbelievable. I think the scope of that will go underrated, but it is seriously such a huge thing. And then outside of that, Ryan Tannehill, only 2 carries for 6 yards. Tennessee as a team averaged 2.3 yards per carry. Jeremy McNichols, 1 for 4. Darrington Evans, 1 for 1. The Ravens stifled the Tennessee Titans run game. And in turn, it forced the Titans to pass the ball probably a bit more than they would have liked. And in turn, it made the Titans panic a bit. And I think that's where Baltimore won this game, because it's not that Tennessee can't win games by passing. Again, I said all last week, Ryan Tannehill is a severely underrated NFL quarterback. But put him in situations where the defense knows what's coming, and sometimes he can falter just a little bit. Part of what made Tennessee's offense so good during the regular season is the fact that, look, Derrick Henry's on a roll in some of these games. The defense absolutely sells out, whether it be 7 guys, 8 guys, 9 guys, all committed. When they see Ryan Tannehill turn to hand off that football to Derrick Henry, they're like, all right, we cannot let this guy continue to cook us on the defensive end, so we're just going to stop him, and we're going to send all of our resources, or at least most of them, at Derrick Henry. What the Ravens were able to do is they were stifling Derrick Henry, they were putting the right amount of resources there, and then in time, Don Martindale backed up off of his blitz game for Ryan Tannehill. That was another big part of it. Ryan Tannehill did really well against Baltimore's blitz early. The Ravens did end up getting a sack on Ryan Tannehill, just one. It was Derek Wolfe, and it was a really nice play by Wolfe and McPhee. Pernell McPhee and Derek Wolfe, they went, and they did a stunt. And Pernell McPhee takes up 2 defenders, and Derek Wolfe does the rest. That's what Derek Wolfe did in Denver, except he was the one taking on 2 defenders for Von Miller. So the Ravens did a really nice job on that play with McPhee and Wolfe, but with Derrick Henry ineffective, it forced Ryan Tannehill to air the ball out a bit more. And this is not a narrative for me. Ryan Tannehill can't throw. Ryan Tannehill can't do this out of play action, unless he has play action. This, that, and the other. That's not a narrative. Ryan Tannehill is a perfectly competent and pretty good NFL quarterback. But with the play action, it helps him. There's no doubt it helps him. But he can do other things, and Baltimore still was able to force key incompletions. They were able to stuff Derrick Henry on 2nd and shorts, and then Tennessee falters. Mike Vrabel did the Ravens a solid by punting on 4th and 2 at Baltimore's 40 instead of going for it. Those are the types of plays that win you games. The defense won this game for the Ravens. Baltimore only puts up 20 points in the game. But that's enough to win the game. The Ravens went out and got Calais Campbell for a game exactly like this, to stop Derrick Henry, to make sure that Baltimore's secondary, which, again, you have an $100 million corner in Marlon Humphrey, you have a $40-plus million corner in Marcus Peters, you have Jimmy Smith, you have Anthony Averett. Those guys went to work. And look, Marlon Humphrey, he admitted it. This was a bad game for him. He got worked by A.J. Brown early. He settled down towards the end of the game, but he does need to be a bit better in certain situations. But that's not a deterrent. That's not me saying Marlon Humphrey is not here to play, is not going to be a great force in these playoffs, however far Baltimore goes. But he does need to improve in certain areas. And I think that is a part where Marlon Humphrey, look, he's one of the best cornerbacks in the game. It's not often where you look at Marlon Humphrey and say, oh, wow, he didn't really play that well. This was one of those games, and Baltimore still was able to win because Marcus Peters played decently well. You didn't really hear Marcus Peters' name called a lot in this game. That's a good sign when you're a cornerback. You don't want to have your name called a lot when you're a defensive back for tackles, for getting targeted. Marcus Peters, I think, played well. Jimmy Smith had an impact. Pernell McPhee and Derek Wolfe led the team in tackles with 6 apiece. Marlon Humphrey had 5. Marcus Peters, Deshaun Elliott with 4. Marcus Peters, obviously, with that game-sealing interception. And then finally, we cannot talk about this defense without talking about the gesture that they made to the Tennessee Titans after that Marcus Peters game-sealing interception, where they ran out the defense. It was almost the whole team. The defense ran out to Tennessee's logo and celebrated on it and yelled goodbye and waved goodbye to the Tennessee Titans. And this was about revenge the whole way through, the whole week. I'm sure Baltimore did not forget about their playoff loss last season. They did not forget about the loss they took earlier this season. Baltimore comes out, they beat Tennessee. They have every right to do that. And a lot of people will, you know, kind of put it as a classless act and say, wow, that's not something that I want my team to do and this, that, and the other. For the Ravens, this was a long time coming for Tennessee. Tennessee had shown blatant disrespect earlier in the year by breaking down on Baltimore's logo. Baltimore showed, hey, we don't like that. We're going to tell you about it. And what did Tennessee do? They talked and they yelled and they did all this other crazy stuff. And they were, oh, it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. Just go play the game. Go coach. You know, that's what the narrative from Tennessee was. It was, you know, we don't care about that. We're going to do it anyway. Well, Baltimore comes out and they beat Tennessee. And what do? They pay it back. And they say, you know what? You did it earlier and you got the best of us earlier in the season. Well, we're going to beat you and we're going to celebrate on your logo when it actually matters in the playoffs while you guys go home and you don't get to play another day this year. And you have to watch us continue our path to the Super Bowl while you sit at home on your couch and watch us do it. This was about revenge for Baltimore. This was about the lack of respect that Tennessee showed them in both games this season. It was apparent. Malcolm Butler is seen flipping off Lamar Jackson and Lamar Jackson nodding at him and saying, bet. You know, Lamar Jackson said after the game, Tennessee is disrespectful. That's not the exact quote, but the gist of it was Tennessee was disrespectful. I don't feel a need to shake their hand. Lamar Jackson didn't go and shake their hand after the game. He sealed the game and ran to the locker room because he doesn't want to expend his positive energy on a team that was disrespectful. And honestly, I don't have a problem with that. Tom Brady has been crucified for doing it. Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, all these other guys who do it, this, that, and the other, you can have opinions about it, but in my opinion, Lamar Jackson did not do anything wrong by doing that. He was showing that he does not tolerate disrespect. This Ravens team does not tolerate disrespect, and they put the league on notice yesterday, and they said, we will not lie down, and we will not give up, no matter who it is. We're going to head into our final break now, and when we return, we'll be talking with Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers and Locked On NFL about Baltimore's victory, as well as getting into the rest of the playoff scores around the NFL and talk about Baltimore's upcoming matchup in the divisional round. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person who can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And we are back here with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Playoff Victory Monday edition. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still talking with you here. And we just talked about the Ravens 20-13 victory over the Tennessee Titans in the wild card round. But now we're going to talk with Peter Bukowski of Locked On NFL and Locked On Packers about the Ravens playoff victory. So let's start it off here with Peter.
The Baltimore Ravens answered a lot of questions in a 20-13 win over the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. Not only did Lamar Jackson and the Ravens win a playoff game, they did it coming from behind and now look like a dangerous team in the AFC. Joining me now, Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens. And Kevin, I think that quarterback part of it is crucial because we saw the Titans come back. They fall down early and you're going, okay, this is not the game script that is most advantageous for them, and yet they showed they can come back. Was that the most important piece here in terms of what you took away from this win?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a big part of it, Peter. A huge thing with this, as you mentioned, Tennessee goes up early, 10-0. They only scored 3 points for the rest of the game. This was a monumental effort by Baltimore's defense. The big storyline is obviously holding Derrick Henry to 2.2 yards per carry, 18 carries for 40 yards to be exact. But then on the offensive side of the ball, you mentioned it, Lamar Jackson. This team, it was a team that had never come back from down 10 in a very long time. And for Lamar Jackson to get his first playoff win, to get that other
chip off of his shoulder. Although with Lamar Jackson, the chips that are on his shoulder are going to probably stay on there forever just because that's who he is. But it must have felt so good. And, you know, there was dancing in the locker room. Marlon Humphrey does these Instagram lives after the game or after road games where on the plane he goes through and literally talks to almost every player on the roster. This team is so tight-knit. They fight for everyone. Yeah. But in terms of the actual gameplay on the field, Lamar Jackson goes 17 of 24 for 179 yards, did throw that early interception. But for me, it was about how Lamar Jackson and this team bounced back again. Tennessee goes up 10-0. You start to see glimpses of the playoff game from 2020 where it's like, oh man, you know, that 2019-2020 season, historic rushing season for the Ravens offense. They go into Tennessee this season and they just beat the Titans at their own game. Usually when a team goes down big against Tennessee, the Ravens and the Titans both have those offenses, which is if you go down against them, they can bleed the clock. They can force your opposing defense to get tired, and that's the game script. But Baltimore fought and fought and fought. Lamar Jackson fought and fought and fought. And that is my biggest takeaway, is that this team will not lie down, and this team will not take disrespect. As we saw, they ended up going and celebrating on that Titans logo, much like Tennessee did earlier in the season.
Yeah, Marlon Humphrey coming for our jobs, Kevin. One of the things that I thought was particularly crucial for Baltimore is they got down early, but they didn't get away from who they are. Lamar Jackson still had 16 rushes in this game, 136 yards, actually averaged more yards per rushing attempt than per passing attempt. And that kept them in it. I mean, had that 48-yard touchdown that really ignited this run. To me, that is the thing that makes them so scary, because they can create explosives in the run game. They don't have to do it in the passing game.
Yeah, exactly, Peter. And a big part of that also is, you know, in terms of getting away from their script, I think we saw a prime example of that last season in the playoff game where Lamar Jackson drops back, I believe it was 70 times. He throws 59 passes. And the Ravens didn't make the playoffs that year because they were able to throw the football well. They did throw the football well in spots, but that was a historic rushing offense. Baltimore goes down early in this one, and what do? They keep running the football. They don't get away from who they are, as you mentioned. Lamar Jackson, it was a decently good game from him rushing. Obviously, the 8.5 yards from carry, the 136 yards rushing, and the touchdown, those are all great numbers, but the Titans defense actually were able to stop him on multiple occasions. The zone reads they were doing really well on, they were able to keep it to a minimum on some of those plays that might have broken big if the Ravens were playing a different defense. But the Ravens being able to, again, force the run game a tiny, tiny bit. They weren't saying, all right, we're going to run 50 times a game and beat you that way, because early in the game, the run game was going nowhere. So the Ravens opens up the middle of the field. They were able to throw some short out routes to guys like Patrick Ricard, who had a phenomenal game, 3 receptions for 26 yards and some pretty good catches, I'll say, as the fullback for the team. They got Mark Andrews out in the flat a bit. That was able to spread the field of Tennessee's defense. They had to start respecting those outs. And in turn, the Ravens were able to get some big rushes out of them. So the run game was able to pick up because Baltimore was able to spread Tennessee's defense out, which I think was huge in this one.
Yeah, 35 carries for 236 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. That's almost 7 yards a carry. When you look at what this team was able to do in terms of, they game plan to stop Derrick Henry, right? And they were able to do that. And then they were able to get, you know, the critical turnover late. They're able to, AJ Brown got his numbers. I mean, he had 6 catches for 83 yards and the score, but then the rest of that Tennessee passing game, I mean, it was a mess. They held Ryan Tannehill to 165 yards. If they're going to beat a team like the Buffalo Bills, this is the defense that has to show up for them.
Yeah, it definitely is. Stopping Derrick Henry against Tennessee is huge, but now the task turns to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And with Josh Allen, the Ravens and Bills played last season. Baltimore got the better of Buffalo 24-17 in what was actually a really hard-fought and close game. Josh Allen went 17 of 39 for 146 yards and 1 touchdown in that game. The key for them is definitely to just contain Josh Allen. We know how big of a threat Lamar Jackson is with his legs. Josh Allen is a threat with his legs as well, but the key is that Buffalo and Baltimore are much different teams than they were in 2019. Stephon Diggs is a matchup nightmare. He was rumored to potentially be going to Baltimore in a deal. The Ravens were certainly interested, but the Bills pulled the trigger. They got rid of those draft picks to get him, and so far that move is certainly paying off for Buffalo. Diggs is somebody, Cole Beasley. The Bills offense has plenty of weapons, but the Ravens defense, again, They're getting healthy now. They had Jimmy Smith back for this one. Calais Campbell is pretty much full health now. Brandon Williams. The Ravens defense is healthy, and if they can stop Derrick Henry, you know, they have a good shot at stopping Josh Allen and this Buffalo offense too, but they do have to put out a good game plan that ends up getting them a victory.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this group of DBs. Baltimore has as talented a cornerback room as any team in football. And if someone is going to slow down this offense, you have to think it's going to be a team like Baltimore. Kevin, thanks, man.
It's always a blast to talk to Peter and give my thoughts to him on the Ravens. You always ask great questions. And for me, just talking about this team, I mean, right now also, it's just unbelievable. But again, any day talking about the Ravens, I mean, it's a great team to talk about. So now we're going to get into the final scores throughout the rest of the playoffs really quickly, and then quickly talk about the Ravens' upcoming matchup with the Bills. But we'll be talking about that matchup all week long here on Locked On Ravens. So let's jump into these playoff scores, starting off in Buffalo, where the Buffalo Bills defeat the Indianapolis Colts 27-24. Buffalo moves on. Phillip Rivers for Indianapolis, 27-46 for 309 yards, 2 touchdowns. While for the Bills, Josh Allen, 26-35 for 324 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Next, we'll go to Seattle, where the Los Angeles Rams beat the Seattle Seahawks 30-20. Los Angeles moves on and plays the Green Bay Packers. Jared Goff went 9 of 19 for 155 yards and a touchdown after replacing John Wolford, who went 3 of 6 for 29 yards before getting injured. And for the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, 11 of 27 for 174 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Then on the Saturday night game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeat the Washington football team 31-23. Tom Brady went 22 of 40 for 381 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. While for the Washington football team, Taylor Heinicke went 26 of 44 for 306 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception in a valiant effort. Next, let's go to the Nickelodeon game where the New Orleans Saints defeat the Chicago Bears 21-9. For the Bears, Mitch Trubisky went 19 of 29 for 199 yards, 1 touchdown, and no interceptions. While for the Saints, Drew Brees went 28 of 39 for 265 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. And finally, we head to Pittsburgh for the Sunday night game in what was the most shocking outcome of all the playoff games, the Cleveland Browns beating the Pittsburgh Steelers 48-37 in a game that nobody counted Cleveland in to win. I personally did not either, but the Cleveland Browns win their first playoff game in what seems like forever, and the Steelers go home empty-handed in the wild card round after starting 11-0. For the Browns, Baker Mayfield, 21 of 34 for 263 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, while Kareem Hunt added 2 touchdowns himself. Ben Roethlisberger in what very well could be his final game in the NFL, 47 of 68 for 501 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. So now the divisional round playoff picture is set. The Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills will match up on Saturday Night Football at 8:15 Eastern Time. Baltimore will have played on every day of the week except for Thursday and Friday after playing on Saturday here in Buffalo. But this is a game that a lot of people will be tuned into. Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen, arguably the top two quarterbacks from that 2018 draft class. Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, Josh Allen making an MVP case himself this season. It'll be such a good game here. The Bills go out, get Stephon Diggs. He has been a game changer. The Ravens get Calais Campbell. He has been a game changer. How will the Ravens cornerbacks match up on the Buffalo Bills receivers? That do include also Cole Beasley and John Brown. Baltimore heads to Buffalo to continue their Super Bowl path, and we're going to have all the coverage here this week for the rest of the week on Locked On Ravens, but that's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be talking more Ravens football and getting into the Ravens matchup with the Bills, as well as wrapping up more about the Tennessee game where Baltimore is able to beat the Titans 20-13, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.